Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Now the tariffs on and by Canada are off, too. Delayed a month, just like with Mexico, after both nations' leaders say they'll boost border enforcement against migrants and drugs. President Trump says he doesn't believe that he needs congressional approval to have the State Department take control of the U.S. agency in charge of foreign aid.
I love the concept, but they turn out to be radical left lunatics. And the concept of it is good, but it's all about the people.
Those comments after workers at the U.S. Agency for International Development were told to stay home. Elon Musk says he's shutting the agency down. He's head of the White House Office on Efficiency. Foreign aid accounts for 1% of the federal budget. President Trump welcomed the Stanley Cup hockey champion Florida Panthers to the White House. Umpire Pat Hoberg fired by Major League Baseball for sharing his legal sports gambling accounts with a friend who bet on baseball games. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany has reintroduced legislation to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list. Managing the gray wolf population has long been a topic of controversy in the state, with some arguing environmental agencies need more flexibility in managing the population, while others argue there should be a set population goal. Wisconsin has also seen an increase in the number of wolf attacks on livestock in recent years, as the wolf population has bounced back. The legislation would also prevent judges from overturning the change. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced legislation to protect AM radio. The bill would require automakers to continue making AM radio accessible in their new passenger vehicles at no additional cost to consumers. The lawmakers say AM radio is a crucial service, especially for farmers who use it to receive critical emergency information and local news. Automakers would have 4 years to comply with the new rule and would be required to inform drivers if AM radio is not available in a vehicle in the interim. Law enforcement authorities are conducting an investigation after a staff member at a Duluth shelter reported a newborn had been abandoned outside the building in sub-zero temperatures. According to the Duluth Police Department, the child was left outside the shelter on January 21st at around 5 p.m. Security footage showed a woman leaving the area in a vehicle around that time. Authorities are looking to identify the woman, but are not able to confirm that she was the mother of the child. Officials say the child is now safe and healthy. An Ashland man accused of killing two men outside his bar in 2023 has been convicted by a jury. According to court documents, 36-year-old Nathan Moncline was convicted of first and second degree homicide in the shooting deaths of Manuel and Luis Garcia. The brothers were Mexican citizens visiting a restaurant owned by a family member next to Moncline's bar. On October 14, 2023, Moncline and the brothers got into an altercation outside the bar before Moncline fired 9 shots at them. His sentencing is scheduled for May 6th. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Another loss for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead but lost at home last night to the Memphis Grizzlies, 132-119. Giannis had 30 points, Chris Middleton with 20. Damian Lillard asked how Milwaukee has now lost to the Grizzlies 7 games in a row.
They got a lot of depth, so they're constantly bringing in different bodies, and they all fly around, they crash the glass. You know, to beat a team like this, you got to match that energy.
The Bucks are in Oklahoma City tonight against the Thunder. The Badgers are back home tomorrow night against Indiana. They picked up a win at Northwestern over the weekend. NFL in New Orleans, the Chiefs and the Eagles getting ready for the Super Bowl this Sunday. If Kansas City wins, that would make Patrick Mahomes a three-peat champion like Michael Jordan or baseball's Derek Jeter.
Watching them and listening to things when they talk about, that's helped shape my career on how I have to work. And obviously, that's a long way, I feel like, still for me to go to be mentioned with those guys, but I'll try to do whatever I can to be close enough as I can be.
That's the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky this evening, some clearing overnight, much colder. A low close to zero, wind chills to 15 below, breezy at times. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high in the mid-teens. Snow developing for Wednesday. Even some freezing rain mixed at times. Highs in the upper 20s. Right now it's 22.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with our old friend Luke Mathers. Join us for that and what's worse?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Mayer on air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. You can be a part. Join us on the lines or the text 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. back on the board working hard for you and jazzed as hell. It's 5 o'clock on Monday. It means our pal Harvey K., our favorite Delano Democrat, New Deal Democrat, call it what you want. He is a professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and a frequent guest. Welcome back, Harvey.
Good to see you guys. I look forward to it all week into the weekend.
As do we. History, man. You are a history buff, and we need your input these days, certainly. Some breaking news I want to get out there before we start talking about the tariffs, and the breaking news has to do with the tariffs. CNN, the Chiron Report, and also Washington Post, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said in a social media post that the United States had agreed to pause threatened tariffs for at least 30 days. The announcement followed two phone calls with Trump on Monday and came after the United States and Mexico reached a similar agreement. In a tweet, Trudeau said he had a good call with Trump and will appoint a fentanyl czar and implement the $900 million border plan that his government announced in December. So there is the breaking news of what we haven't heard anything yet back on is regarding the 10% tariffs on China. But apparently there is a 30-day pause on the 25% tariffs assigned to Canada and Mexico, which the Wall Street Journal called the dumbest trade war. RBK, welcome. Your thoughts on this particular go around, sir?
Look, let's be honest. This is a double win for Trump. It's a double win. What it showed is that despite his total obnoxiousness as a foreign affairs president, both Mexico and Canada have decided they would do something, basically something to respond to his tariffs and get them suspended. So that is a victory. The question is, what happens at the end of 30 days?
Right.
This is wild. And he probably likes the idea of 30 days because it keeps everyone in suspense, like a TV show.
Yeah, know? But the markets don't like that, Harvey. You know, the markets like stability. And today, the VIX was at 13%, man. And if there's anything, as some of the reporting that I've seen, you know, they sent troops, 10,000 troops to the border when Biden was president. And you didn't have to roil the markets in order to do so. So I'm of the nefarious mind. I think these cats are playing games. I think he has, as the administration, as Donald Trump, has the ability to put on these tariffs. It's basically a shakedown. And if they know what's going to happen, he can put them on and take them off, and the markets will react. the market. Come on, man. I look at this, a call with everything else. Look at the inspectors general that have been fired. Look at the FBI, the shakeup over there. You look at the SEC now saying that any investigation has to go through the political appointees, according to Reuters. I see a lot of consolidation of power and take that in conjunction with what, like Elon Musk getting access to the payment systems. And now Donald Trump is going to be what, reporting all the budgetary information all comes from this administration. How do we know if they're taking 0.001% off the top, Harvey?
Well, just assume they are. Just assume they are. Right. But I keep thinking about how he wants to keep his base, the MAGA, believing in him in the short term. So, yeah, I mean, it may well turn out that he'll back off these kinds of things. The markets will go back. Think about the fun he'll have that when he lifts. I'm serious. When he lifts these tariffs and tariff threats, how the market will go up, and he'll say, the market's never been healthier. Right. I mean, we're talking here about a guy who's running a presidency that's based on hit and run, shock and awe. I mean, a whole series of things. Now, does that mean that I think your idea, your theory is a good one about how to play the market? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right about all that, too. It's just a question. We'll find out.
We'll find out. And again, given, as one of our texters points out in the reporting from The Washington Post, Canada already had this $900 billion effort passed by their government. There have already been troops at the border, up to 15,000 from some of the reporting. So it's not like any of this seemingly is out of the norm. It's just that he makes a big deal out of it, trying to, you know, give his performative, perhaps to your point, Harvey, to show the megas that he's strong. I don't know if that's strong for countries to do what they've been doing already under other administrations, but if that makes them feel better, okay, a little pat on the head and don't nuke the world, Donald Trump. I guess we'll take that as victory.
Yeah. You know, I had a little Christmas. By the way, I have a Canadian friend.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? Just this afternoon, I had a Canadian friend who launched his own, what do they call him, Substack.
Oh, sure.
He's a writer. Mm-hmm. He is a writer by profession. And in his first Substack issue or, you know, installment, he actually said he expected Trump and our friends in Canada and Mexico to come to an agreement that would enable Trump to suspend or lift it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I just, you know, I mean, I know that one would have to have a crystal ball right now to know what the next thing is or what's been going behind the news of this breaking. How many times a day we're getting a breaking news?
Yeah.
What's going on behind the breaking news? Probably, look, that story that you referred to, that Musk now has access to like $6 trillion by way of the passwords in the office. Is that Office of Management and Budget? Hold on a sec. What is that? He's now got access by way of.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but he does have access to like $6 trillion. Okay. in the payment systems, to my understanding, Harvey.
Right. Well, an additional thing, one of my former students sent me a piece from Forbes that said that he wants to place the dollar on the blockchain, and all I could say was to my former student, "What the hell is a blockchain?" Yeah. Which is apparently the market of such of Bitcoin, etc. Right? Is that it?
Yes, and I'm not into it much as well, but Cam or some of our friends are saying, yes, Elon wants to put the treasury on blockchain, which sounds very bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, I don't want this is and again, getting to the very core of what we are as a country. I mean, if you start pilfering to the nth degree out of the treasury, man, you know, this country survives on the faith and goodwill and hard work of the American people, the full faith and credit. Right, Harvey? I mean, that's what our bonds are backed by. They're not backed by gold. They're backed by the full faith and credit of the American people. And if we got people like Musk and Trump starting to dip their dirty little hands in it and start messing with blockchain or wanting to get some sort of I forget the coin terms, but if they want to start playing games and doing Bitcoin and what, you're going to use the government, the faith of the American people to back up Bitcoin and these other things as well. I think this is a very, very dangerous path, in my opinion, because the last thing we want is bailout of Bitcoin.
Look, I think you'll agree that in any reasonable period of history, in the sense of where presidential administration had the best interest of the American people at heart, given what we've witnessed, Musk would be in jail. And along with the politician who enabled his maneuverings. I mean, he's not a government official.
No.
And right now, you know what? I thought about this the other night. I thought, do you know who, God, I just blanked on the name. The Russian wizard as such, early 20th century.
Rasputin.
Thank, was you about to say that, Jess?
Yeah, good job, mm-hmm. Jess. Rasputin, yep.
Musk is like Rasputin, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, messing around with the state, you know.
Making huge promises.
Yeah, here's the specific reporting that Trump gave Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who gave those representatives, whom nobody elected or have little oversight, access to the internal federal payment system that just disperses trillions of dollars each year and Medicare benefits, according to the New York Times. Now, I don't, you know, I've done...
These people haven't been vetted, I am sure.
No, man. Don't worry. Harvey, he's rich.
And is a college student.
Oh, come on.
That was what the news report included in that I read, right? Actually, two or three of them. I mean, this is just pure madness. It's wild. And we're all being treated as if we're at a circus, you know? That's basically.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me for this hour. You can do so as well. So, Harvey, it seems like a show. I think it's a scam. You know, it's a lot of bluster. What was now all these tariffs, with the exception of China, we don't know about China yet, but Mexico and Canada have now been extended for 30 days. And one of the other, some of the reporting that I thought was interesting, that when Donald Trump tweeted out or truthed out his conversation with the Mexican president, Harvey, that she brought up, that he did not, was that one of the promises was that the U.S. would stop the flow of guns from America, from the United States of America to Mexico. Now, for some reason, that one was left out of Donald Trump's messaging, but Mexico brought it up. And certainly it's a thing. And some of the reporting I've seen is anywhere from 50 to 80% of the guns that are, you know, used in Mexico are come from this country. I mean, a big number. So there's a lot of illicit trade back and forth, Harvey. Do you think that matters at all?
Well, I think it matters to the extent that she was able to get, you know, concession by him that we have yet to confirm in terms of the American media, which tells us something about the American media. I mean, at least they reported on what she said. Question is, don't they have any way of knowing if that's true or not?
You would think, right? You got an agreement, you got a contract, you got a signature, you got something we can go in. And beyond all of this, and to my point and pushback on the megas, it's like, okay, what, the drugs and migration, Harvey, that was the excuse, right? This is why we need to do this. Well, come on, man. How many migrants are coming from Canada? I don't buy that for a minute. And even so, then if that were to be the case, then what's your metric? How do you measure success? Is it a certain percentage of decrease in the flow of drugs and migrants? And what percentage is it? And what are the level? I mean, the whole thing is just, it's just willy-nilly. It's shoot from the hip.
Of course
it is. Yeah. And it doesn't. So the success, and we only got a minute left in this one, Harvey, and I'll let you get your response in on the other side. The success is not measured. It's a feeling because they're not articulating.
Well, actually, there is, I'll be quick.
Yes.
There is one way to measure the success. You got to watch the price of fentanyl.
Watch the price of fentanyl. All right, man. No, I know, but I mean, but come on. Probably, and I know there's variations to it, but the stuff doesn't take a lot to get the hook, right? And people, Americans, a lot of people going back and forth can smuggle a little bit in your car. Yes, there are the massive smugglers that go on. There's also everybody, you know, bouncing back and forth from the border. Folks, you're listening to the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Come back with us, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We're going to talk a little history lesson coming up next.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New Federal Election Commission filings by multi-billionaire and quasi-Trump cabinet member Elon Musk show that he and his company spent at least $288 million in the 2024 election cycle, even more than expected. We reported last October that Musk poured millions into his America PAC, offering a borderline legal $47 bounty for referring unregistered voters to a website collecting personal contact information. Open Secrets reports that Musk poured $118 million into the PAC just between July and October 2024. Musk coughed up another $20 million to fund the RBG PAC, funding misleading advertising suggesting Justice Ginsburg agreed with Trump on abortion. In October, Musk contributed another $925,000 to a Trump PAC, Trump 47 Campaign Committee Incorporated. Musk's filings show that contributions in $10,000 increments flowed to most state GOP committees around the country, many payments coming in late October. Curiously, the most recent filing shows Musk put another $45 million into the America PAC after the election, perhaps to make donations to the Trump Inaugural Fund or begin funding the 2026 midterm cycle. Find links to the FEC and Open Secrets data for even more Musk contributions at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk. Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, joining me this hour. You can do so as well, 855-752-4842. I did see, as we're talking right now, about these tariffs being paused for both Canada and Mexico. Now, Mexico said they'd send 10,000 troops to the border. And now we have some confusion whether or not Canada said they would do so as well. NBC News is reporting for this 30-day pause that certainly, yes, Mexico will send 10,000 troops to the border. And Trudeau said that nearly, quote, 10,000 frontline personnel are and will be working on protecting the border, quote, unquote. And he signed a directive on organized crime and fentanyl that will be backed by $200 million. So 10,000 frontline personnel are and will be working on protecting the border.
I should have Googled it while we were in break. The length of the Canadian US border and what 10,000 troops would mean along that stretch of border. Where are they going to put them, right? That's where they're going to put them. I mean, this whole thing is I don't know. It's so crazy. It's serious business, but it's hard to take seriously given the kinds of the ways in which these things are transpiring. And by the way, in case anyone is on Twitter who's listening, according to what was just sent to me, anyone who criticizes the Trump administration will be suspended from Twitter. But I haven't verified its veracity.
Okay, all right.
I have not verified it.
But we'll check that out. My understanding, according to my Google search, the border between the United States and Canada is 5,525 miles long. So if you divide 10,000 active or 10,000 personnel by 5,525, that's one personnel for every 1.8 miles, Harvey.
Right, or two if they go working shifts on a 2 mile. On a, you know.
I came back from Mexico, from Canada, not so long ago, when a trip up to BC, a beautiful Beautiful country up there. And you can still kind of smell the fires. It's crazy times, yeah, you know. Yeah. But we came back and we drove through some of the national parks on the way back, and we stopped at the Boulder. And it was, as you were talking during the break, it was like a little shack, one little joint, you know, and no inspection, no anything. Guy came out and wasn't even going to hit our passports, but we had the kids with us, and they wanted to get the stamp. You know, like, can we please have the stamp for the kids, you know? it was super low-key and totally chill. And could I have, you know, stuffed 10 pounds of fentanyl my kid's diaper? I mean, maybe. But that's the kind of stuff that additional troops is not going to stop, unless you check everybody, every time, everything, everywhere. You know, it's just, as long as there's a demand for that, for the drugs in this country, there's going to be a supply.
They'll start digging tunnels from underneath the Canadian border, right?
855-752-4842. Hell, Scott Walker, former governor of the state of Wisconsin, thought we needed to build a northern wall. We need a northern wall.
Did he? What?
Yeah. What? Yes, it's true. You can Google it. Let's get some callers in. Susan from McFarland got a question for our guest, Harvey K. Hey, Susan, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. Well, first of all, I just want to comment. I wonder if Trump spoke Spanish to the president of Mexico. But anyway, that's kind of a
no, he didn't.
Anyway, if he did anything, it was pig Latin.
Right.
Probably. But I was just wondering, because this is really serious stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. the things that they're allowing Elon to do is so, I mean, we all can chuckle at it, but it is so serious that I feel like this fire hose is just washing me over every day. And I need it, you know, I mean, we can vote here and all that, but how do we get people to notice us in Washington, the Republicans, to stand up for this? Because it's going to take the Republicans to do that. It's not going to take the Democrats, because, you know, the Republicans own the Congress right now. So it's like, how do you stop this? I mean, it's literally awful.
Well, it is strange to me that that there isn't at least some forces left, some folks left in the Republican Party who are not threatening to bolt the party for the Democratic side of the aisle, at least on these kinds of questions. That's what's astonishing me. And I mean, one can only hope that, in fact, a few of them, I mean, you know, I don't trust Susan Collins or Murkowski from Alaska to necessarily do the right thing. But they often pretend like they're on the verge of doing the right thing. And when is it that they're going to actually do it? And that's the question. And what can we make? What can they do? Well, I read today that some U.S. senators who are on the Democratic side of the aisle are at least beginning to exercise their right to block appointments, to make it difficult for them to even bring appointments before congressional committees for, in quotes, an inquisition of sorts. Now, I mean, the Democrats, you know, I don't even care if the Democrats get it together on a grand scale. At least let's find a few Democrats who are going to make noise that can then attract other people to them. I mean, that's all we can depend on. We don't have any other force inside of Congress but the Democrats to make it happen. And honestly, and I think it's really, truly tragic, Bernie does seem to have become a rather marginal figure in all of this.
855-752-4842. AOC has been making some noise, and like we continue to, you know, magnify what she's saying.
Yeah.
Annie from Watertown, you'll have the last word this segment. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Okay, I guess. Well, we got to speak up and call, even if I don't think it would do any good to call Scott Fitzgerald or any of mine. But
every little bit helps, Annie. Every little bit helps.
Yeah. What I found, I really came to understand the idea of rabbit hole today, and I don't know if it's for good or bad. But,
okay.
But, I went on the Social Security Administration website and the CDC website. I didn't check out others. I heard there's others. And instead of little American stars and instead, there is the first Confederate flag with 9 stars and 9 or 11 stripes. It differs there. And some have it, some don't. Some people have gone on there and not found it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, Annie. I'm looking at, and sorry, I got to cut you short here. We're coming up to a hard break, but I am on the SSA.gov website right now, and I do not see anything other than an American flag and the Social Security Administration symbol with like a eagle with USA underneath it. So I'm not seeing that. But thanks for the heads up, Annie. If you do it, take a, you know, take a snapshot of it. Send it over. 855-752-4842. Come back with us. Harvey K. Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. What do we got to do? We got to claim American history. Let's talk about that on the other side.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to consider getting flood insurance in recognition of Flood Insurance Awareness Week. According to a press release, Wisconsin residents could be eligible to purchase federal flood insurance even if their property isn't located in a special flood hazard area. The insurance can serve as a crucial lifeline for residents in the case of a flooding emergency, since it only takes a couple of inches of water to potentially cause thousands of dollars in damage to their homes. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance have announced record-breaking enrollment through the Affordable Care Act. According to a press release, over 313,000 Wisconsin residents signed up for health insurance on the individual marketplace during the 2025 open enrollment period. That increase represents an 18% boost over last year and is the highest enrollment the state has ever seen. Governor Evers said the enrollment jump shows how important defending the system is. A competency hearing has been scheduled for the Cumberland man accused of attacking his mother. 29-year-old Devin Baldwin was arrested on January 20th after the alleged attack that left his mother hospitalized in critical condition. He's facing up to 40 years in prison if convicted on three felony charges, which include repeat offender and domestic abuse modifiers. A Barron County judge ordered that he undergo a competency hearing after his initial appearance on Wednesday. The competency hearing was scheduled for March 4th. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation will host a public meeting on the proposed rehabilitation project of the U.S. 63 bridge over the Yellow River in Spooner this week. According to DOT officials, the meeting will be held at Spooner City Hall on Wednesday at 5 p.m. The bridge is about 50 years old and the proposed work is scheduled for 2028. DOT officials are planning to overlay the bridge deck with concrete, replace aging structures, improve nearby drainage, and replace a guardrail. Traffic would be reduced to a single lane during construction. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Oscars are just 4 weeks away, and if you missed some of the Best Picture nominees the first time around or don't have access to the films in theaters, don't despair. The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, I'm Still Here, and Nickel Boys are unavailable to stream at the moment, but the rest of the nominees are available to watch in the comfort of your own home. Anora, Wicked, and The Substance are all on pay-per-view for anywhere from $4 to $20. 20 big ones might sound like a lot, but oftentimes is cheaper than actually going to the theater. The following potential Best Pick winners are free if you have the appropriate platforms. Conclave is on Peacock. You can catch A Real Pain on Hulu, and Amelia Perez is available on Netflix. Check them out. It will make watching the Oscars more fun. And at those prices, you can't afford not to be a couch potato. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky this evening, some clearing overnight, much colder. A low close to zero, wind chills to 15 below, breezy at times. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high in the mid-teens. Snow developing for Wednesday. Even some freezing rain mixed at times, highs in the upper 20s. Currently 21 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday, we visit live with Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, about her run for re-election, starting with a primary, in just 2 weeks.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back to the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. Having a little fun today. Our pal, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me to the top of the hour. You can do so as well. Harvey, before we get on to how you're feeling these days, man, a little concerned about you from the text. Annie had called in concerned about what she saw on the Social Security Administration website, ssa.gov. And I looked at him like I was looking for like a Confederate flag or something like that. And I did not see that. But she had sent some images to us. And I've looked a little further, a little closer at the ssa.gov website. And in the upper left of the website, there is the American flag. However, that American flag on the upper left of the ssa.gov website has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stars. 9 stars. I'm like, well, what does that mean? So I did another Google search, and one could assume that perhaps those 9 stars symbolize the first 9 states to secede from the Union at the beginning of the Civil War. Annie from Watertown. Yeah, I see it. I see what you're saying. There's only 9 stars. That seems strange.
Why change that?
Right.
And the Social Security site?
SSA.gov. Yes, has American flag with 9 stars in it. That is correct. I can verify it. I took a picture of it. It's there as we speak. So thanks for the heads up. We'll let other folks perhaps ponder the relevance and meaning of that and how long that's been there. I'd like to see some pages from like last year and see what that is. But in the meantime, Harvey K, let's talk about how you're feeling, man. I'm a little concerned. I thought perhaps you told me that you were feeling a little dulled these days, man. What do you mean by that?
Well, let's start with the fact that for at least, I'm lost track of time. How long has he been president now?
This is our third week.
Third week. Yeah. I mean, look, I fully confess that my head's been spinning. I mean, we're bouncing back and forth trying to keep up with all of this stuff, which is happening moment to moment. In fact, I forget what it was I saw during the break of breaking news. Okay. Oh, I saw the breaking news. They're looking into breaking up the education department. Okay. I mean, so we'll see what happens by tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I actually got a hint that we were expecting an executive order to end the Federal Department of Education today.
All right.
Actually, so I saw that version too. So, you know, I was trying to be less scary in my report. I mean, so all of this is just, it's gotten to the point of sort of dulling me. Now, when I say dulling me, I mean, my anger is deep inside of me, Mike, but my anger is not, I go through this, I've said this for years. Republicans acted like I expected post-Reagan Republicans to act. Trump is acting like I really expect Trump and his cohort to act. Especially given that I never expected the Musk to have the role in standing alongside of government that he has, practically inside of the White House. I mean, all those truly perverse images that people produce for Twitter about their relationship, Trump and Musk. I mean, those are the look. But with all that, I mean, so there's a deep anger, but I'm dull in my sense of what do we do? People say, what do we do now? And I said, well, there's not the best thing is, and I'm getting reports around the country, it is happening, is that at the local level, in cities like Chicago. That's where I got the major report from a former student. There is activity on the ground to protect people, to try to maneuver around the orders, okay, to read the orders carefully to see how they might be interpreted at the ground level differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Spanish Empire, in for the several centuries of the Spanish Empire, there was something that the viceroys in Latin America could say to, publicly, which would license them, viceroys being the sub-kings of who represented the king. They could say, obedezco pero no cumplo. I obey, but I do not comply. And it struck me that, that it may well be that our best hope is to find federal officials who are willing to start sounding like Spanish Empire viceroys. I mean, it's really the case where you don't know what's coming next. You don't even... And you have, I just hope somebody's keeping a list. So if we ever get back into office with a reasonable government, they can start undoing all of this mess. But so I don't know what one does overnight or what one does in the immediate sense. I can only leave that to people who are more directly engaged on the ground with these kinds of questions. But what's been on my mind that I've been telling you is something that I actually wrote about in 2016, almost immediately after Trump won in 2016. And that was, and the Democrats did nothing to address it. I published it at a major website. I was one of Bill Moyer's most important or most active writers back in the years that he had his television show and his website. And I said that it was imperative for progressives, and I've used this word on as a cover on the cover book, to take hold of American history and to talk American history. That is, I'm not saying that they should be teaching as in a classroom. That's a history that really does need to stick to a more critical kind of, which Trump will outlaw eventually, I'm sure, a critical story so that students understand the contradictions of American history. But progressives had to stop, especially further to the left, my comrades on the left, number one, stop trashing the United States. That's essential. You stop trashing the United States. Okay, it's a knee-jerk reaction so that when the likes of Reagan and his cronies right through to the likes of Trump created a nostalgic image of the past that left out any sense of what the past was about, the immediate response on the part of the left, of which I am a part, was to trash the United States, okay? And it found its way in many ways, into the public realm in a way that did make the left and the entire sort of progressive end of the spectrum seemed to be almost anti-American. The fact is that we had a better history to offer, not a counter history, but a better history. The history that begins really inside of the American Revolution, okay, which for all of the, contradictions of the revolution and for all the things it left undone, developed, projected, and made a promise that was inscribed first in the Declaration, and then in the preamble to the Constitution, and in many ways also in the Constitution, if one goes deeply into it. And similarly, through the course of American history, it became what Abraham Lincoln turned to, what FDR turned to, what JFK, LBJ, in their best moments, all turned to. And that is to start recalling that promise, number one, the promise of equality and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's absolutely crucial. And then beyond that, to remember that in every generation in American history, there has been a movement, a struggle on the part of Americans, both native born and newly arrived, to try to secure the promise. And in the struggles to secure that promise, history was made. Okay. And the fact is that instead of countering with how awful the American history has been, which, yeah, I'm not denying the contradictions. I'm not denying right. The oppression, the exploitation, sure. And the tragedies. But the point is, we have to remind ourselves and remind our fellow citizens, number one, of the ways in which we achieved and brought an end to slavery, secured the women's right to vote. And it wasn't from the top down, it was from the bottom up. Now, doing that, Democrats, generically speaking, should be identifying them with the best of American history, okay? But when's the last time you heard an American progressive, well, Democratic politician talk about history other than to throw out the term the soul of America, which, by the way, stop. I don't want to hear anyone talking about the soul of America. I want to hear about the struggle for America. I want to, have you ever heard in recent times anyone, but maybe a conservative, try to hijack history to mention Thomas Paine? Has anyone talked about, who's talked about the likes of Lincoln or the likes of FDR? I mean, we haven't heard Democrats talk about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So my point is that it's time for Democrats, especially the progressives among us, and no less those of us on the left, to be promoting a historical memory, which basically offers a narrative and reminds people of what it takes to bring an end to that which we do find abhorrent. And so that's been on my mind. Now, I say that, and I've done my best. I've written about it, and I've produced a comic book about it, okay? But it is the case that the Democrats just don't do it. You didn't even hear anyone running for the Democratic chair or whatever the title is of that office in speaking in terms of what the Democratic Party at its best has been. Mm. So anyhow.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Harvey, I love what you're saying, man. I truly do. And I wonder, you know, in the worst of times, in the times that as we would look back and talk about the oppression, the inequality and those kinds of things, and put it in that very similar framework, because the lack of pursuing our life and liberty and pursuit of happiness, when we're not engaged, when we're not doing that, this is where we fail. These are the things that happen when we're not in that pursuit. I'm not talking about trashing this country. I'm saying when we don't recognize and appreciate and lift up the struggle and the basic understanding of the foundation of this country, which is, for me, we the people, in pursuit of life, liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. When things go south, it seems those things are kind of thrown out the door, Harvey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the other thing is that story that I wish we would be recounting and encouraging might itself encourage people to demand more and not necessarily to say, nothing we can do about it. Okay. Or for that matter, to turn to the likes of the demagogues like Donald Trump. Well, the assumption is I can't do anything. So we need a guy like Donald Trump because he'll fight.
Right.
He'll fight. I mean, it's dangerous to lack the historical memory, which is the true story of the United States, the radical and progressive story of the United States.
Well, historical memory implies that it was known to begin with, Harvey. And I'm not clear that we could, you know, sit up here and artfully make that argument. I think for a lot of folks, putting it in that kind of context would be perhaps the first time they've heard it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I'll go back to my man FDR, if you don't mind.
Yes.
He never failed to give a speech which didn't sort of conjure up the America's historical past in a progressive way. There were those who came to call him America's history teacher in chief because he was doing it so often. I mean, when he went before the American people, or went before Congress with a message, he always would grab hold of the past in order to, if you like, bolster his arguments about what he wanted to do in the New Deal. I mean, when he first was running for office in 1932, he talked about the original social contract, the Declaration of Independence, and how it had been usurped, or not usurped, it had been basically crushed, that social contract, by the industrial titans of the Gilded Age. I mean, there are ways of going about it so you don't sound like you're being a pedagogue,
right?
Okay, or pedantic is a better way of putting it, but that you're really sort of reaching deep in. And I do think Americans may not have the details in their minds, but they have a sense of the American story. And if it's not encouraged, if it's not cultivated, one can find the likes of Reagan and Trump trying to create an image of the past, which leaves out the story of the struggle, which makes it out as if God made it all happen.
And it is a struggle. That story needs to be told. And I'm very curious as every generation has their struggle, what this generation is going to do. You know, if people decide to do nothing, which is a choice, to sit on their hands and let somebody else worry about it, well, then we get what we get. And in this case, it's Donald Trump. In other cases, it's been much worse for our American history. Folks, you're listening to the Dominic Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, coming back for one final segment. And you know how we roll. It's the last segment of the day. You got to tell us something good. That means you, Harvey. That means you, Jess. That means you, callers, 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey-scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you gotta buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Dominic Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay for one final segment. Harvey, thanks for sticking around. You know, we do the tell me something good thing right now. This is Jess's great idea, and I do love it. So, folks, please participate. I'll start.
Oh
yeah, I'm gonna start. Okay. I'm gonna start because I want to ask Harvey some questions after this. But we'll all do our thing and then we'll continue on. I won my weight bet this month, man. So I'm in a weight bet with a couple other buddies of mine.
What
a weight bet? So we weigh ourselves, and then at the first of every month we reweigh ourselves.
Okay,
and whoever lost the most or gained the least, it depends on the situation, is the winner of the bet. And I've been just getting jammed the last couple of months, so I finally won the bet.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. Oh, what's that?
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I thought it was a result of. I'm like, result of.
Now I'm worried. Now I'm worried about you.
Fine living, of course.
Finally ditched all the cookies.
Most of them. Yeah. No more frosted cutouts. So that helps. That helps. All right. You go, Jess.
While I took some time off, 2 days ago, I made a huge batch of chili. This is something that I like to do a couple times a year.
I've had some of that chili.
Yes, you have.
And, describe your chili, please.
Okay, so I make a turkey chili with lots and lots of green peppers. I've got jalapenos, serranos, and habaneros for heat.
Whoa.
Lots of beans of many varieties. Always start with kidney beans and garbanzo beans, and then whatever else looks good and interesting. Small mountain of onions, tons of garlic.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. Just let it simmer on the stove for as many hours as possible. And it's just...
That sounds like the richest chili I have ever encountered.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
It's so good.
It sounds wonderful.
It's a full day's worth of work. It's like 8 hours of chopping and mixing and stirring and tending, but it helps me put all of my thoughts in order. It helps me feel like I have a little bit of control over something. And there's something very, very therapeutic about using a knife to chop things up into tiny, tiny pieces.
Wow.
For many hours.
I have been the lucky recipient of some of that chili, and it is good stuff. So if you have a little one left over, you don't got to freeze. Just bring it over. I'll have some of that.
We'll He's hungry. It. He hasn't been eating for months.
This is what I'm saying, Harvey.
Yeah.
All right, man. Harvey, you got something good you want to share with the crew?
Mine is trivial, but I have a follow-up if you want something more significant. Mine is trivial. I, too, people used to talk about escape into the movies. I don't know if you know that expression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I escape into Netflix series.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, there comes that moment where I can't take it anymore. I've got to just tune out. And this past week has seen first the return of in their second season of two of my favorite series. One is Night Agent.
Night Agent.
And the other
okay.
one, and the other one is The Recruit. Okay. And I binged on them. But I found out that this week Wild Cards is coming back to CW, and I'm just giving you those names. Mm-hmm. I'm not bragging about my taste. I'm just telling you that to me is escape into the Netflix type series.
Excellent. Good to know. I'm always looking for some escape because I've been watching reruns of Archer for crying out loud. So I need something new. All right, Harvey, just a couple more minutes left. Talk about something good. Every generation, as we were talking about what to do now, and everyone's generation has their struggle, has their way. How do you think this generation is going? What do you see, and what do you define as the age group of this generation that has to step up and have their part?
Well, we all like to say that we've seen a lot of promise in the younger or youngest generation.
I am not a role model, Harvey. Okay.
But I also have to say that I think the failure of the Democrats over these too many years has also contributed to a great deal of cynicism.
Mm.
So it may be true that there is a sort of current of activism and current of hope that prevails. But I'm concerned that on the grander scale, there's this sort of cynicism that's taken hold. And I just worry about that. But that's not a good thing. Let me give you a good thing.
Yes.
The good thing is that we still have the words of Thomas Paine. And when Martin Luther King Jr. would get depressed about the state of the civil rights movement, he would turn to one quote by Thomas Paine in particular. We have it in our power to begin the world over again. And he garnered hope from that. And I think everyone should keep that in mind. We have it in our power to begin the world over again.
We have it in our power to begin the world over again. Thomas Paine, Harvey Kay. And every minute of every day, Harvey. I mean, literally. You know what? And if you didn't do it last second or last 10 minutes, you can do it the next 10 minutes. It's an opportunity every second of every day. So I do take heart in that as well. And I always appreciate you coming around, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Folks, stick around. We're going to have Pete Schwabba with Nightlight is coming up next. And we got a big week. I'll be off on Friday of this week. Okay, we got that. Jess is back on the board. And we'll get our normal crews in here. We'll get James Santel rolling in here. I'll see if we can get back to Earl again and hopefully... We're going to have, Matt Rothschild, is he done gambling or is he still bird watching?
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Folks, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Have a wonderful evening. Harvey, thank you once again.
Thank you.
I'll plan on seeing you next Monday, my friend. Just welcome back. Appreciate all your hard work. Hope you had a great time off and I love having you back on the board. And folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Stick around. Pete Schwabba coming up next.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The tariffs on both Canadian and Mexican imports now on hold. ABC's Matt Rivers, Mexico City.
Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum saying after a phone call with President Trump this morning, he has agreed to suspend putting tariffs on Mexican imports to the U.S. for 1 month. This after both sides agreed that Mexico would send an additional 10,000 National Guard troops to the northern border to try and stem the flow of fentanyl into the United States. That's been the key sticking point for President Trump.
The U.S. agency in charge of foreign aid is nearly shut down, says the Trump advisor Elon Musk, head of the White House Government Efficiency Office. Musk has been given access to Treasury Department resources, including classified info and data on hundreds of millions of Americans. Nearly 350,000 Venezuelans protected from deportation who got work permits in 2023 under temporary protected status will lose them in April. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.